Well, I hope that everyone has had a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. I know they edit these things. Surely, I guess they just pick the funniest ones or the worst ones, but they had a video of a guy going around asking people, well, what is the 4th of July? Why do we celebrate that? And what was it all about? And I hope they just picked some of the worst ones. I hope not everybody was as bad as some of the ones that they chose. But it was kind of one of those things. It would have been funny if it hadn't been so sad, the answers that they got and the things that people said about when this all took place. And some of them thought it was as far back as 1980 that we declared independence from ourselves. So I don't know. I tell you, it is something. But I know they do those things to be entertaining and also tended to show some of the people who just really don't know much about our history or various different things. They do all sorts of different ones like that. But it is a big deal for a lot of people, I guess those who actually know what it's all about anyway. The 4th of July, Independence Day, all about freedom. And Jamie mentioned with the Lord's Supper our freedom that we have in Christ and how important that is. We want to look this morning at this really simple but in some ways profound concept that freedom is never free. We all enjoy some level of freedom, some more than others, obviously. But we don't realize sometimes the cost that went into that freedom that we have. Certainly people who had to struggle to gain freedom for themselves believe in that freedom and appreciate that freedom more than those who have just had it handed to them. And that's one of the things about the freedom that we have in Christ. Even though Christ brought that freedom, Christ paid the price for that freedom, Christ is the one giving it, we have to struggle to attain that freedom in Christ. And that should make it more precious to each and every one of us than if it were just given in such a way that we didn't have anything to do to gain it. John 8 and verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I think about people in this world who, because of their claim of Christianity, are not very free. Some who live in fear of persecution. And we don't have that here in this country, but well, how could Jesus say you're free indeed if there are still Christians who are persecuted, put in prison for their beliefs? The first century, many of those people that may have even, many of those that heard Jesus say this, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And yet many of them were imprisoned, were persecuted, were tortured and killed. What kind of freedom is that? Well, you see, Jesus wasn't talking about a physical freedom from slavery or from prison or freedom from pain or suffering in this life. That's not the kind of freedom He was talking about. He brought us a spiritual freedom, a much greater freedom. Well, when we celebrate the Independence Day, the 4th of July, do we ever think about what happened to those men who started this whole thing in our country? There were 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Five of them were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. Think about what these men did and risked They risked their lives, their fortunes, their honor, everything on this when they signed this piece of paper, parchment. There were 24 lawyers or judges. There were 11 merchants, 9 farmers. They were men of means. They were well educated, and yet they risked their fortunes, knowing that if they were captured, if things didn't go the right way for them, they would be killed. They would be counted as traitors. And yet they did that. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader who saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and his properties to pay his debt and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and he was poor by the time it was over. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over their home for his headquarters. He urged General Washington to open fire, and their home was destroyed. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. He lived in forests and caves for more than a year, returning home to find his wife dead, his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died as well. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates. Now, these men sacrificed a lot to start the road toward the freedom that we have enjoyed in our lives. Sometimes we take our liberties in this country so much for granted. I'm reminded of that any time I see or hear a news story about how things are in the rest of the world. She's not a New Testament Christian as we would think of it, but there's a story from the Sudan of the woman who, because her father was a Muslim, even though she was raised in Ethiopia as a Christian by her mother, and her so-called father had abandoned them when she was just a little child, but because her father was a Muslim, she has been imprisoned. And then she was released, and then she was imprisoned again, and right now she's trying to get asylum from the American embassy there in Sudan because she would not become a Muslim. It's hard for us with the freedoms that we have here and people able to do so many things, whatever they want to do, to imagine that someone could actually be imprisoned. And at one point she was sentenced to death. They even kept her 2 small children who are actually American citizens because their father is an American. They accused her of adultery because she was married to a man who was a Christian and not a Muslim. Strange. We think, well, nothing like that would ever happen here. Well, maybe it could sometime. Certainly that's the kind of thing that these men set out to avoid having happen here. Freedom. Such a precious thing. Let's look at some details about the freedom that Christ brought. Because it's so much more than just the freedom to walk about and travel about and the freedom to vote and all of the things, go watch fireworks or go fishing or whatever, the things that we've done, go swimming on the 4th of July. It's so much beyond that. The freedom that Christ brought is freedom from sin. Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 23, Jamie referenced this as he was talking about the Lord's Supper and the freedom that we have. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have freedom from sin because of Christ. Now, freedom from sin, it doesn't mean lawlessness. No, sin was lawlessness. Doesn't mean that we're without law or that we are totally free to do whatever we will. No, quite the contrary. We are free to serve God in righteousness now. We couldn't do it before because we were enslaved to sin. But because of Jesus Christ, we have freedom from sin and we're able to serve God. We have freedom from the old law because of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 7 and verses 1 through 6. Paul says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. The woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she is married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." We're freed from that old law. The fact of the matter is, really, Paul here is talking to the Jews. As Gentiles, we were never under that law. But even those Jews that Paul is writing to who were under the law at one time were freed from it. In Galatians 5, 1 through 4, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who are attempting to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace." What a sad statement. You've been free, but you want to go back into slavery. You want to go back into bondage. What is wrong with that picture? And yet, that's the very picture of the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, they were crying out to the Lord to come rescue them from Egypt. And so He did. And they get out away from Egypt. They have some freedom. But not very long into that journey, they begin to want to go back. They went, how good it was back there in Egypt. Really? How good it was? Well, how quickly we human beings forget. Just a few weeks ago, they were moaning and crying and weeping out to the Lord to come save them. And now here they are with freedom, and I wish we had the cucumbers and the melons that we had back there in Egypt. You know, sometimes slavery has its perks. They were slaves in Egypt, but they got the cucumbers and the melons for free. Oh, how good that was. Well, it wasn't really good. They were enslaved. They were forced to work day in and day out. But sometimes people do the same thing spiritually. We're free from the law, and yet we want to go back and be in bondage to the law again. Not only the old law, but it's also referred to as the law of sin and death. We're free from the law of sin and death. Now, this isn't exactly the same as the old law, but Romans 8, verses 1 through 9 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." We have to understand the blessings that Christ brought us. We had, as Paul says, a law working on us that said, you commit sin and you die. And that was where we all were before Christ. We had committed sin and we were on our way to death. But then Christ came along and He brought the law of the Spirit of life that says all of that can be done away and you can walk in the Spirit and you can have My Spirit and you can live by that Spirit and you can live and not die. Not physical life. We had physical life already. We were dead in our sins, but we were still walking around, breathing, eating, sleeping, waking up, working, playing. We had life in the physical sense, but we didn't have it in the spiritual sense. And that's what Christ brought, a spiritual life. Perhaps one of the most wonderful things that affects us in our day-to-day life, if we will allow it, is that Christ brings us this freedom that allows us to be free from all men. Now we don't often act on that. We talked this morning about how people, subject themselves, even they've done nothing wrong, but they kowtow to everybody. They want to be popular, they want to be liked, they want everybody to get, and so they just give in and say they're sorry for things when they hadn't even done anything wrong, when they've been doing what was right. But you see, Paul tells the Corinthians that under Christ we have this ability to be free from all men. Now again, this is not a physical freedom. It's a mental, emotional, and spiritual freedom that we have. No one can take that freedom from us. Oh, they can lock us up. They could put us in chains. They could beat us, torture us, even kill us. But they still cannot take our freedom that we have in Christ. Notice what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 through 23. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have been entrusted with stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law that I might win those that are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." In another place, Paul says, "Hey, I have liberty. Why is my liberty being judged by some other man?" No. See, our freedom, our liberty in Christ, no one could take it away from him. No one could force him to do it. Now, he willingly served other people. And Paul's a great example of that for us. We want to be great in God's sight. We need to be servants. We need to serve others. We need to do what we can for other people. We need to reach out and try to help them any way we can to bring them to Christ. Is it always going to work with everybody? No, absolutely not. All that Paul did, still, he made enemies everywhere he went. Even though he was trying to serve them, to try to help them to understand about the freedom in Christ, he was trying to help them understand the gospel, the power of salvation, freedom from sin. But not everyone accepted that. Not everyone wanted that. Believe it or not, and it's sometimes hard for us to imagine, but there are some who are happier in slavery. They're happier enslaved to sin than having freedom from sin. And those will just have to be left enslaved to sin. We can't force them to have freedom. One of the biggest struggles that we have in the world, we want to give everyone the opportunity of democracy and freedom that we have in the United States. And so we try. And we've tried over the years to try to help everybody else have freedom. And in some places we've been successful, and some countries have gained some freedom. In fact, some of them are more free than we are, according to some of the people who rate this kind of thing. I don't know what standards they use to rate it, but they say that there are several countries that are freer than we are. Their press is freer than our press and different things. Some have embraced that freedom. Some have fought for freedom themselves to get freedom. But there are some that we've tried to give freedom to, and you know, they just squandered it. They just went right back into being taken over by another dictatorship or some other harsh ruler of some kind. You can't force freedom on people. We can't force salvation on people. We can't force the gospel on people. We want them to have it. We know they'd be better off if they'd take it, but we can't make them do it. We can give it to them. We can share it with them. Like Paul, we can serve them in every way to try to win some. But some just won't take it, and some will squander it. Some will have it for a little while, and then they'll throw it away, and they'll go back like the dog returns to his vomit or the pig to the wallowing in the mud. They'll go back to their sinful way of life. But we're free from all men as long as we'll embrace that freedom. We don't have to please everybody in the world. Isn't that a good thing? You couldn't if you tried. I dare say you couldn't please half the people in this auditorium today, even if you tried. Not all the time. I've found, even if you give people chocolate cake and ice cream, you know, there are some people that don't like chocolate cake. Can you believe that? I've met some people that don't like chocolate cake. You may be one of them. There are some people who don't like ice cream because it's too cold, you know. Xander didn't like ice cream when he was little. It was too cold. He learned to like it a lot, but he didn't like it when he was little. Well, you know, no matter what you get, this will please everybody. No, it won't. Don't you think God, if He could have found a way to please everybody, He would have found a way to please everybody, but He didn't. He found the way that was right and that was best and that will make people the best they can be, the happiest they can be, if they'll follow His way. But He doesn't force them. So we have this freedom. As we come toward our conclusion this morning, I want us to realize that our spiritual freedom that we have in Christ was not free. Just like our freedom in this nation, how many have died procuring and securing our freedom in this nation? And we talked about that some back at Memorial Day a little bit. But how many have suffered and died for the freedoms that we enjoy? No, our physical freedom in this country, political freedom, was not free. It came at a great cost. Our spiritual freedom also is not free. It cost Jesus His life. No greater cost could have been paid than the precious blood of God's only begotten Son that He shed for us. There's no amount of silver or gold, no amount of property, no amount of anything that can measure up to that. John 8, verses 31 through 36, Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Romans 5, almost the whole chapter there, Paul talks about how we have peace with God. How we have this freedom. And he talks about how it came through Jesus Christ. He talked about in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to Him. We gained this freedom. You know, we weren't His friends who were enslaved by somebody. And He came and freed us and broke us out of jail. No, that's not the way it was. We were His enemies. We were against Him. And He still set us free. God bought us our freedom. He goes on to compare the way that sin worked through Adam and how death entered the world and how righteousness comes through Jesus Christ and life. And how it's a free gift. The gift that comes by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. He suffered. He was condemned to death, to die a death He didn't deserve, to rescue us from a death we do deserve, so that we could be free. Free from sin, free from death, free from the law. Those Christians in the first century grasped that, perhaps because they lived so much of it. The apostles especially, who saw Him and walked with Him and saw His death, maybe they grasped it better than we do. And maybe they valued that freedom more than we do. But there are examples, but think about the apostles. What happened to them? You know, we talked about those men that signed the Declaration of Independence. Some of those men survived. Some of them went on to help lead this country in its beginnings. Well, the apostles began leading the church in its beginnings. And what happened to them? Now, we don't know much for certain from the Scriptures. Only two of those original 12 do we know from the Scriptures what happened to them. But there are some fairly reliable historical accounts of what happened to some of the others. And according to those historical accounts, Peter was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the same way his Lord was. So they did it upside down. Andrew, according to the traditions, was crucified in Greece. James, the son of Zebedee, one that we do know of, Acts 12 tells us that he was beheaded. He was the first of the apostles to be martyred. Of course, Judas Iscariot hanged himself after he had betrayed Christ and given up on the freedom that Christ was bringing. He was one of those who preferred the slavery of the scribes and Pharisees and the Jews' religion over the freedom that God promised in His religion. John, James's brother, according to tradition, he alone died of old age peacefully about 100 AD. Philip supposedly was crucified under Emperor Domitian. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, we don't have a record of, but many assume, of course, that he was martyred, as many of the others were. Thomas, according to tradition, was martyred by spears, by being speared to death. Matthew, according to tradition, also was martyred. James, the son of Alphaeus, supposedly was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny Jesus as the Messiah. When the fall didn't kill him, they said he was stoned and then clubbed to death. Jude, or Thaddeus, Judas, the one not Iscariot, according to tradition, he was martyred in Persia. Simon the Zealot, also martyred with Jude there in Persia, according to tradition. Paul, of course, we know many of the trials that he went through, but it is traditionally believed that he was beheaded. And we don't know about Matthias, who was another of the latecomers to the group. But these men sacrificed everything. Some of them had thriving businesses that they sacrificed to follow Jesus and to go try to proclaim freedom to a people who didn't want to hear it. And because of that, they were tortured and killed in many instances. John 15 and verses 18 through 21. We need to understand there's a price for us to pay for our freedom as well. We cannot expect to have freedom in Christ and expect not to have to pay for it ourselves. Even though He paid the ultimate price, we're going to have to pay for it as well. John 15, verses 18 through 21, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." We need to understand, if we give in, if we bow to the pressures of those around us and give up the freedom that we have in Christ, then we didn't deserve it in the first place. We've got to stand up for our freedom in Christ. We've got to know that if we do, some people will be unhappy. Some people will reject it. Some people will go much further than that. Eventually, some people will reject us and even, quite likely, persecute us if we continue to stand fast in the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. But that's the great thing about the freedom. We're free from all men. We don't have to give in. We don't have to kowtow to their wishes. We can stand with Christ in freedom and ultimately have everlasting life. If you need to respond to God's invitation this morning, perhaps you're not a Christian, you're not enjoying the freedom that Christ died to bring for you, What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you've been giving up some of your freedoms in Christ, get them back. Fight for those freedoms. Enjoy the freedoms that Christ came to bring you. Don't go back into sin. Don't go back into slavery to man or to the law or to sin. Stand in the freedom, the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. If you need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.